is time for the Chatham County Roundup now on 97.9 The Hill. Happy to be talking again this week with Randy Voller, the publisher and editor of the Chatham County Line. And we always enjoy catching up with our friends and neighbors just across the Chatham County Line to see what's going on over in the Chatham community. Randy, happy Tuesday. How's it going?
It's great to be back.
Absolutely. Lots of tension around Chatham right now. Attention and tension as this pretty strange story coming from the Goldston area. That's a little bit outside of our coverage, but we've been following other people's coverage. Of course, reports of some students at this elementary school holding a mock slave auction. Teachers maybe not stepping in, and parents and activists really now speaking out against that. We saw some developments at the Chatham County Schools Board of Education meeting last night. But Randy, what have you been hearing from the Chatham community, and what has the response really been?
Well, for a lot of good reasons, people are rightfully upset. But I would like to start off and say, when these incidents happen, they don't happen in a vacuum. And also, they don't point, they tend to happen and people respond, but this is not 1950 or 1960 or 1980 or 2000. There's been a lot of work by the Chatham County government, community groups, and the school systems. And I know a couple of the school members, Jane Ellen Wilson and Del Turner, have put in a lot of work in their tenure on the board in addressing issues of structural racism and working with CORE. Working with other local groups like the NAACP. And yes, this is very unfortunate that this happened, but it didn't happen in an atmosphere where people were tolerating this. It just happened. Now, I would make the point that this happens in part because we have other things in the community that went on. As you recall, for years, we had protests coming in Pittsburgh over the removal of the Confederate monument. Protests that have occurred in other localities in and around Chatham County, specifically up in Graham, and all over the state and the country as well. And when you have groups showing up there that are promoting a certain ideology, an ideology that is kind of steeped, some would say, in white supremacy, and you have groups coming in there that are practicing their First Amendment rights, but they're putting out some pretty negative messages, like the Proud Boys. It's not a surprise that you might get young people acting out or doing these things at a time when we have others promoting intolerance or promoting a particular political agenda or ideology.
Yeah. Have there been any other stories around Chatham lately that kind of fit within that? Because it seems to have kind of died down when it comes to the Confederate monument, side of things. But I'm sure that, you know, these conversations and these tensions don't just go away.
No, I mean, there have been stories and issues in every county in the state, but, you know, specifically Chatham, which I'm here to speak on today, going on in probably every year. I mean, I remember when I was mayor of Pittsburgh and my good friend Carl Thompson, who had been the first African-American ever elected to the county commissioners in 1978, and he had been reelected in 06, Reverend Thompson, there was an incident in 07 where folks scrawled racist graffiti on Hannah Road, E.T. Jan, where he lived, which is not far from this school in Goldston, you know, down in the same area, Bonley, you know, Bear Creek area. And, you know, someone had blown up his mailbox. I think a similar thing might have happened to Commissioner Diana Hales, someone, you know, blowing up her mailbox or knocking it down. It's happened over time when people take a stand or try to address the type of issues that you get a response. And the response is not always the nice, friendly response.
Yeah. No surprising.
No.
We're speaking with Randy Voller, the publisher and editor of the Chatham County Line. Any other stories regarding Chatham County schools that you guys are following? I know that masks have certainly been a big discussion point, but it seems like that our school system's at least starting to take a step in the direction of moving into that new normal. And I know that Chatham County schools were kind of the first to do that in our direct community.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of community involvement with parents addressing the school board about, you know, what they felt about masks and the current policy. So, yes, changes were made, and that's happened over previous school board meetings. I'd like to actually address something that's positive and something that I think reaches children, especially at-risk children or You know, children that may not be exposed to a lot of different things. Something that Chatham Arch has been putting on for years, and I attended two of these events at Pittsburgh Elementary School, Arts for Resilient Kids. So we went to the artisan schools, Flamenco, Viva, Carlotta, Santana Dance, which was held at Pittsburgh Elementary last week, where fourth graders were able to enjoy a performance and then a two-day workshop to study the art of flamenco. And the residency, this one, was powered by the Lily McCoy Voller Stargazer Fund. Now, Lily is our deceased daughter, so, and my wife's been is an artist and on the Arts Council for years, so this is a personal thing that we've gotten behind. But the Artists in Schools initiative is made possible through partnership with Chatham County Schools. And at the same time that the flamenco dancers were at Pittsburgh Elementary, you also have some amazing drummers and other folks. You know, Jolly is performing at another school, and this has been going on for years. So when children can engage the arts and engage other cultures, and contextually it's tied into their curriculum, it might be tied into history or math or art or their music, this is a way for them to experience something different and to hear different languages and see different people performing. And it actually broadens the horizon, and you start to realize that the other is really not something to be afraid of. And so I think that the Arts for Resilient Kids is a very important program and very positive. So at the same time that you have this rather negative experience going on, you also have this amazing positive experience going on. But I have to say that I think that negative experience of the kids conducting their own slave auction at the school down in Golston is really contextually, you know, being done because of the things I mentioned. You know, we had a Proud Boy being arrested in Charlotte who actually marched in Pittsburgh in 2019, and he wore a T-shirt that said, "Pinochet did nothing wrong." Now, we all know that Pinochet was a Chilean dictator who carried out a bloody coup backed by the CIA and did some pretty nasty right-wing
activities
in Chile, right? So, you know, again, when you have these kind of people in the public square putting out this kind of negative messaging, it's not a surprise that in the absence of adults stepping up, that children might act out or look to, you know, things to do. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying this is why it's important for us to address these things and talk about social justice. And that's why arts in the schools is so important.
Yeah. We had a really great conversation within the last couple of weeks ahead of Big Night In for the Arts, which I know the Chatham Arts Council was very involved in. And it was great to hear from Cheryl Chambly and our other, you know, local artist representatives talking about how important arts are for culture and just as a touch point of society and the supporting of them getting back. So great to hear that effort is happening in Chatham County Schools, because it sounds like it makes a big difference.
Well, I actually think that, you know, Mike Wiley, of course, puts on an amazing, you know, one-man performance. And, you know, when you have these type of performers come into grade schools and middle schools and you can engage them, and these are performers, you know, that are, you know, from a diverse background. Mike Wiley is African-American, and he comes in and does this incredible performance about slavery or about issues that happened in the 19th century. It helps the children identify and see someone, you know, educating them and also learn something. And so, again, I think supporting arts in the school is a clear and simple way to address these other issues that have happened. You know, they're negative, but they're not indicative of all of Chatham County. I mean, things happen. What really is a question of character is how the community responds.
Yeah.
And I think the community has stepped up with a very affirmative social justice message, and I think the school system has responded in kind.
We're speaking with Randy Voller of the Chatham County Line. Their website is chathamcountyline.org, and kind of an overarching part of that is, of course, who our elected officials are, and that it includes local government. The Orange County Commissioners all running unopposed here in Orange County, but a pretty heated primary season expected for the Chatham County Board of Commissioners race. Filing period has wrapped up since the last time you and I touched base. Mm-hmm. What were some of the highlights when it comes to the county government?
Well, I have 9 pages of the filings. Of course, it seems like everyone and their brother filed for you in Senate, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm here to talk specifically about local government, and we have three seats that are being contested, District 3, District 4, and District 5. Now, in Chatham County, we have residency districts, but then you run countywide. So District 3, Diana Hales, is currently the county commissioner. She's not running again. You had two Democrats file for that seat, and they're going to be running in a competitive primary, Lewis Hendricks and David Delaney. And you have one Republican file for that seat, Tom Glendening. So there'll be a competitive election in the fall. And then in District 4, Jim Crawford, Dr. Jim Crawford, retired. And they selected Dr. Logan, ironically, former school superintendent and the first African-American school superintendent that Chatham County Schools ever had. And he is filling that slot. And you have three Democrats that filed, Reverend Albert Riddick, Katie Kenlin, and Travis Patterson. That'll be a really interesting competitive race to watch. And you have a Republican, Joseph Godfrey, also filed in there. And then Franklin Flores Gomez, the first Hispanic county commissioner in Chatham County history. He does not have a Democratic challenger, but he does have a challenger in the fall, Peyton Moody. So yeah. Those are all going to be really interesting competitive races to watch. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion about affordable living, affordable housing. There'll be discussions about growth, you know, how we're going to grow, or, you know, it's really not a question of if, but it's how. And how we're going to address these things, how the county and the towns are going to work together on critical infrastructure issues. So I think there's a lot to play for. Of course, also, we're a nonpartisan school race, so we don't have people file as Democrats and Republicans, but a number of people filed for the school race. And considering that we've had a couple of pretty interesting issues crop up that you referenced, the masking issue and this recent issue down in Golston, I can imagine that the school race is going to be a lot more interesting than the ones we've had in the past.
Yeah, that seems to be the case for Orange County as well. Lots to follow in local government elections for people who think that it's just presidential years or you're just voting federal, as we try and make sure with our coverage. And I know Chatham County Line does as well. It is important to be informed in what's going on that local level. We've got a couple minutes left with Randy Voller of the Chatham County Line. Any other recent stories from the paper you want to highlight or any upcoming stories?
Actually, I think growth is always an issue to discuss. So I found an old resolution that Pittsburgh and other communities passed when I was mayor called the Resolution of Support for the Reality Check Guiding Principles for Quality Growth. This was from 2009. And now we're in 2022. But the three basic things that all of these 15 counties agreed on back then was supporting transit, improved regional transit, matching land use decisions with transit investments. You know, that's still an issue today. Vibrant centers, reinvesting in city and town centers and promoting compact development, density and mixed use, including a balance of jobs and housing. I can imagine that's still going to be an issue in Orange and Chatham.
Yeah.
And of course, sustained green space. Define appropriate growth and preservation areas to protect open space, agricultural land and resources, especially water supply and quality. Does that sound like something that's 13 years old and past? No, actually, the sustained green space is something that you'd find in the paper today.
Yeah, and water quality.
And water quality. So I mentioned that because the county appointed a wastewater study commission, and they had their second meeting. We covered it. It's covered in Chatham News and Record, and we have a story on it. But they put out a problem statement and a guiding principle for their study, and what they're saying is that growth in Northeast Chatham County is undeniable and that Chatham County's current strategy for managing wastewater in this area is not sustainable long term. And they have a whole series of ideas that they're going to be studying and putting out there, including possibly connecting to the town of Pittsburgh system or getting involved with Sanford or possibly connecting to Siler City or looking at Owassa or even looking at a Northeast regional system. So I would advise that if people are interested in what's going to happen with our wastewater issues, they need to be looking at what the recommendations are going to come out of this wastewater study commission, because it's pretty serious. And one of its chairs headed up Stop Chatham North, which is Liz Rawlinson, and she's knee deep in this with others. And I think that the work that they've done and the information they put out is quite informative and good.
Yeah, yeah. Very notable when a group puts out a problem statement instead of a mission statement. That's also what caught our attention.
Yes.
Lots of important coverage done there on, as you mentioned, just an ongoing issue with the Chatham community. You'll be able to find their paper on stands throughout the county, as well as on ChathamCountyLine.org, a great spot to find all of their coverage. Randy Voller, publisher and editor of it, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the Chatham County Roundup, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Great to see you again, and go Heels.
Yeah, go Heels indeed.